Pope Benedict XVI received the participants in the plenary assembly of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences, who were gathered this week in Rome to discuss the theme of complexity and analogy in science, theoretical, methodological, and epistemological aspects. We bring you now the integral audio of the Holy Father's English language remarks. They are preceded by introductory remarks from the Academy's president, Professor Ferner Arber.
Holy Father, your Pontifical Academy of Sciences comes before you on the opening day of the workshop on neural sciences and the human person, which follows our plenary session on complexity and analogy in science, theoretical, methodological, and epistemological aspects. Holy Father, we are deeply thankful for your constant solicitude towards our academy, which is also evident in the appointment of two new academicians. On the one hand, the physics and engineering professor Wanderlei Salvador Bagnato from Brazil, and on the other hand, the development and agricultural economics professor Joachim von Braun from Germany, whom we are honored to introduce to you today. In addition, this year, Your Holiness has already awarded the prestigious Pius XI Medal to two young scientists, to the genomic researcher Trace Yuan Huang from Taiwan, who unfortunately cannot be with us today any longer, and to the chemistry researcher Ulrich Pöschel, originating from Austria and working in Germany, present today. Let me say, we are very gratified with the activity and works of our academy in the last 2 years. The three meetings that we have held since our 2010 plenary session have focused on three important topics: on fate of mountain glaciers in the Anthropocene, on subnuclear physics, and on new developments in stem cell research, induced pluripotent stem cells and their possible applications in medicine. In addition, this year's plenary, with its satellite workshop on neurology as an example of complexity, is very crucial to achieve our statutory goals. We will extend our future meetings to any other topic based on available scientific knowledge that may serve for the sustainable development of humanity and long-term sustainable development of nature. The Pontifical Academy of Sciences tries to fulfill its mission of critically interpreting and establishing a hierarchy of the proven scientific acquisitions and application projects to collaborate at the proper level in your project for a new evangelization, especially in this year of faith. We feel very fortunate to have a Pope who has come from our academy, and we are aware of your understanding and are close to your concerns and your mission to teach truth, good, and justice. Therefore, Your Holiness, we look forward to listening to your wise words that will certainly enlighten and guide our Academy's course of action. We are mindful of the many duties that your high office places upon you, not at least the recent and demanding Synod of Bishops, in which I was invited by you to take part, for which I thank you also on behalf of our academicians. We are thus especially grateful to you for granting us this audience today.
Your Excellencies, distinguished ladies and gentlemen, I greet the members of the Pontifical Academy of Sciences on the occasion of this plenary assembly, and I express my gratitude to your President, Professor Werner Arber, for his kind words of greeting in your name. I'm also pleased to salute Bishop Marcelo Sanchez Sorbondo, your Chancellor, and to thank him for his important work on your behalf. The present plenary session on complexity and analogy in science, theoretical, methodological, and epistemological aspects touches on an important subject which opens up a variety of perspectives pointing towards a new vision of the unity of the sciences. Indeed, the significant discoveries and advances of recent years invite us to consider the great analogy of physics and biology, which is clearly manifested every time that we achieve a deeper understanding of the natural order. If it is true that some of the new notions obtained in this way can also allow us to draw conclusions about processes of earlier times, this extrapolation points further to the great unity of nature in the complex structure of the cosmos and to the mystery of man's place within it. The complexity and greatness of contemporary science in all that it enables man to know about nature has direct repercussions for human beings. Only man can constantly expand his knowledge of truth and order advisedly for his good and that of his environment. In your discussions, you have sought to examine, on the one hand, the ongoing dialectic of the constant expansion of scientific research, methods and specializations, and on the other, the quest for a comprehensive vision of this universe in which human beings, endowed with intelligence and freedom, are called to understand, love, live, and work. In our times, the availability of powerful instruments of research and the potential for highly complicated and precise experiments have enabled the natural sciences to approach the very foundations of corporeal reality as such, even if they do not manage to understand completely its unifying structure and ultimate unity. The unending succession and the patient integration of various theories, where results once achieved serve in turn as a precipitance for new research, testify both the unity of the scientific process and to the constant impetus of scientists toward a more appropriate understanding of the truth of nature and a more inclusive vision of it. We may think here, for example, of the efforts of science and technology to reduce the various forms of energy to one elementary fundamental force, which now seems to be better expressed in the emerging approach of complexity as a basis for explanatory models. If this fundamental force no longer seems so simple, this challenges researchers to elaborate a broader formulation capable of embracing both the simplest and the most complex systems. Such an interdisciplinary approach to complexity also shows, too, that the sciences are not intellectual worlds disconnected from one another and from reality, but rather that they are interconnected and directed to the study of nature as a unified, intelligible, and harmonious reality in its undoubted complexity. Such a reason is fruitful points of contact with the view of the universe taken by Christian philosophy and theology, which is notion of participate being, in which each individual creature, possessed of its proper perfection, also shares in a specific nature, and this within an ordered cosmos originating in God's creative world. It is precisely this inbuilt logical and analogical organization of nature that encourages scientific research and draws the human mind to discover the horizontal co-participation between beings and the transcendental participation by the first being. The universe is not chaos or the result of chaos, rather, it appears even more clearly as an ordered complexity which allows us to rise through comparative analysis and analogy from specialization towards a more universalizing viewpoint and vice versa. While the very first moments of the cosmos and life still elude scientific observation, science nonetheless finds itself pondering a vast set of processes which reveals an order of evident constants and correspondences and serves as essential complements of permanent creation. It is within this broader context that I would note how fruitful the use of analogy has proved for philosophy and theology, not simply as a tool of horizontal analysis of nature's realities, but also as a stimulus to creative thinking on a higher transcendental plan. Precisely because of the notion of creation, Christian thought has employed analogy not only for the investigation of worldly realities, but also as a means of rising from the created order to the contemplation of its creator, with due regard for the principle that God's transcendence implies that every similarity with his creatures necessarily entails a greater dissimilarity. Whereas the structure of the creature is set of being a being by participation, that of God is set of being a being by essence, or esse subsistence. In the great human enterprise of striving to unlock the mysteries of man and the universe, I am convinced of the urgent need for continued dialogue and cooperation between the worlds of science and of faith in the building of a culture of respect for man, for human dignity and freedom, for the future of our human family, and for the long-term sustainable development of our planet. Without this necessary interplay, the great questions of humanity leave the domain of reason and truth and are abandoned to the irrational, to myth, or to indifference, with great damage to humanity itself, to world peace, and to our ultimate destiny. Dear friends, as I conclude these reflections, I would like to draw your attention to the year of faith which the Church is celebrating in commemoration of the 50th anniversary of the Second Vatican Council. In thanking you for the Academy's specific contribution to strengthen the relationship between reason and faith, I assure of my close interest in your activities and my prayers for you and your families. Upon all of you, I invoke Almighty God's blessings of wisdom, joy, and peace. Thank you.